Thank you for downloading this message from New Horizon AOG Church. We pray that it inspires you to arise and shine.
Last summer, almost a year ago now, Michelle and I had the privilege of being able to travel with some Old Testament scholars from America, and we joined their Old Testament study tour, and we, as far as we possibly can, a crowd of us, it was trekking through the wilderness. It was hard work. We had our backpacks on and we were trekking through the wilderness, but We, as far as we possibly can, we try to retrace the steps of the Old Testament Exodus. And so we started in Egypt, and then we literally trekked out of Egypt, and we took a few flights and a few other things as well, as you do nowadays. But as far as we possibly can, we walked the way of the wilderness. We came out of Egypt and into the Jordanian wilderness, and we trekked through the wilderness. We went up Mount Sinai. Kind of famous in the Old Testament, if you know your Old Testament narrative with Moses. And so we went up Sinai. We climbed up in the middle of the night because of the heat, and we camped at the top and saw the sunrise. And then we made the long trek down. We went through the Jordanian wilderness, and then we crossed over the border into Israel. We started the trip. It was an Old Testament trip, and it was all about uncovering the narrative of the Old Testament, and which was very powerful, and understanding again that a wilderness time doesn't have to be a barren time. It can be gateway to a blessing if God is on your journey. And that's one of the things that we learned. But it was an Old Testament tour, but obviously you can't help but collide with Jesus. He's at every turn. And so we started the journey in Egypt. Some of you may have been to the pyramids. Anyone been to the pyramids? Some of you may have been. A few people have been to the pyramids. And we learned again that the false gods of the pharaohs made things so. If you've seen the pyramids, if you've seen the Sphinx and all those kind of false idols, the false gods of the pharaohs, they made things so big in order to make man feel so small. That's what they did. They made things so big in order to intimidate man, to make man feel so small. We started the trip there. We ended the trip in a little cave on the outskirts of Bethlehem, where we sat in the dust and we prayed together and we read scriptures together and we cried together, where once again we remember that God, who is so big, became so small in order to give significance back to man. Notice the difference. Notice the false gods made things big to make us feel so small. God, who is so big, became so small in Jesus in order to bring significance back to our lives. If you don't hear anything else this morning, hear this. God is committed to bringing significance to your life. God is passionate about bringing purpose and blessing into your life. He had a plan before you were even born to bring significance. And every step of the way of your life, God is committed to bringing significance and purpose into your life. You see, there are so many things in this world, so many of the things that the enemy would use to try and intimidate you. There are so many things that the enemy will try and use to make you feel so small. God will never do that, because he's your father and he's your creator. If you don't hear anything else this morning, then please hear that. In fact, God is so passionately committed to seeking to empower you, to enable you and strengthen you in your daily lives, that actually, even this week, he wants to connect with you. Even this day, he wants to connect with you. There is a beautiful little verse in 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 9. And I'm going to use this as a launch pad this morning. 2 Chronicles 16 and verse 9. And he says this. He says, "For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen." Say the word strengthen. To strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. Let me say it again. "For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him." That word strengthen in the Old Testament Hebrew is the word chazak. Now that's not something you go to the chemist for, but actually it simply means to connect yourself to something bigger than who you are. And actually, it talks about the strongest of connections. It's the same word we find in Joshua chapter 1. If you understand your Old Testament story in Joshua, when Moses had died and God said to Joshua, "Now it's your turn to lead these people to inherit the land I gave to their forefathers, or I promised their forefathers." And he said, "Now Joshua, before you go, I want you to remember something. Be strong and courageous." The same word. It's chazak. The only way that Joshua was going to be able to fulfill what God had asked him to do is that he chazaked himself to God. Or God fastened himself to Joshua. Either way, there was a connection. There was a chazak moment that Joshua connected himself to something far bigger than who he was. It's the same word in Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 13. Where it says, "For I am the Lord your God who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you." It's the word chazak. Turn to the person next to you and say, "How's your chazak going?" In about a month's time, I'm going to ring Andy up. I'm going to say, "Look, just ask the congregation, how's their chazak? Have they been to the doctors?"
Come on.
God is committed to kazaking you this week. It's to allowing his authority, his power, his favor, his blessing to connect with you. And so long as we're connected with him, we can make advancements in our lives. God's a God of connection. Now, I think we know that. I think we're a generation who understands the power of connection. Now, when I say we're a generation, if you're alive today, you're part of today's generation. Yeah. Whether you're six or whether you're 86, if you've got a pulse, you're alive. And if you're alive, you're part of today's generation. Sometimes when we talk about today's generation, we think about the young people. No, that's all of us. I think most of us, in fact, all of us, we understand about the power of connection because many of us can't get through a week without one of these. Many of us can't get through a day without one of these. Some of you had this next to your bed last night. Come on. Wherever you go nowadays, people are connected. On the trains, on the buses, there's connection points. In the airports, there's connection points. A few weeks ago, this is as glamorous as my life gets. A few weeks ago, I had a meeting with somebody and we met in McDonald's on a Saturday morning. That's as glamorous as it gets, McDonald's, Saturday morning. And not even Starbucks, McDonald's, Saturday morning. And Saturday morning, 10 o'clock, I thought it was just weirdos like me that worked on a Saturday, but I met this guy, with this minister, to try and bring some encouragement to his life, and I walked into McDonald's, and there it was, full, everybody connected. Everybody was connected Saturday morning. We understand the power of connection. But I wonder, just a thought, I wonder this week which one of these is going to be most prevalent in your life. I wonder. I'm not saying there's anything. I do it myself. There's something weirdly comforting about not leaving the house without seeing that 100% on the bar. It's true, isn't it? like you wouldn't do it, would you, nowadays? You wouldn't, like, you know that if there's 100%, it's going to be a great day. If it's anything less than 70%, you're in for a rough day. And before you lock the door of your house, you're kind of thinking, I need this. I wonder, before you lock the house, you say, I need this. I need this. A few weeks ago, I'd been doing some teaching in Ireland. I do a lot of teaching in Ireland just recently, and I was walking through Dublin Airport to my gate to get my flight back to the UK, and I noticed that there was a young guy. He was propped up against one of the walls at Dublin Airport, and he was connected using Dublin Airport's electricity, and so he was connected. But I noticed he was on FaceTime. Or Skype or something like that, and just an ordinary sight. But as I walked past him in Dublin Airport there a few weeks ago, on my way to the gate, I just something struck me very significant, and I felt the Lord speak to me. Now, hold a pause there for a minute. I know, just want to be quick on this, but just hold a pause for a minute. I remember when FaceTime and all that kind of technology, if you're not familiar with that, it's that video where you don't no longer speak to somebody on the phone, you can actually see them. I remember when that first came out. And Michelle and I, we do a fair amount of traveling, and we're often in different places, often in different countries. And so to have FaceTime was like really exciting. It was like, now Michelle and I, even if we're in different countries, we could follow each other around the room. We could join each other's meetings. I was really excited. I remember once Michelle, I can't remember where she was. Well, she might have been in Australia, and we got the time difference and all worked out. And I remember I was in the UK, and I cooked myself a whole Sunday roast. Tablecloth, vegetables also, tablecloth on the table, soft music, soft lighting, candles, the whole works. And then I propped Michelle up on the table. You kind of think I'm a bit weird, aren't you? You know, it got me some brownie points. But then we had a romantic meal across the miles. It was really exciting. FaceTime. But then, the power of connection. But then, that technology, it's great, and we still use it, and we use it all the time. But it just becomes routine. It becomes old hat. It becomes, oh yeah, Michelle and I can FaceTime. Oh, whatever. I don't say that about speaking to Michelle, but about the ability to do the FaceTime. And so back to the story at Dublin. So I'm in Dublin Airport, and I'm walking past, and I see this young guy, and he's evidently communicating with somebody on FaceTime or Skype or one of these things. But the thing that struck me was this. The guy was signing. Now, I can't do sign language. Some of you would be able to do that. But he was signing. I want you to think about that for a moment. And as you think about it, does it strike you what it strikes me? Here's something that I'd began to take for granted. Here's something that becomes, okay, it's fine, but actually it's just run of the mill. But for this guy, it was a lifeline. He couldn't speak to somebody on the phone. And so to have the ability to be able to connect with somebody through sign language, for me, that had become the routine of my life and just a whatever, for him, he was the lifeline of his life. And as I walked past, I felt the Lord say to me, Kevin, in all your busyness, dashing here, there and everywhere, am I still the lifeline of your life? Am I this privilege of being Kazakhed, this privilege of being connected to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Is this my textbook for work, or is this my lifeline that I can't leave the house without? That's the way I want to live, friends. I want to live understanding that God is committed to kazaking me. And the least I can do is to get in a position where I'm ready to be kazaked. Turn to the person on the other side, unless you're on the end of the row, and say, are you ready to be kazaked this week? Are you putting yourself in a position where you can be kazaked this week? So here's the thing. There's a second part of that verse. It says, for the eyes of the Lord range throughout the East Midlands to kazak, to strengthen. Who wants to be strengthened by the Lord this week? The word of God says, the eyes of the Lord range throughout East Midlands to strengthen. To strengthen those, listen to the second half, those whose hearts are fully committed to him. See, here's the truth, friends. God is fully committed to us. He is so fully committed to us. He who is so big became so small to bring significance through Jesus back into our lives. That's how committed he is. He's committed to us that he's desiring to kazak us this week. He's desiring to bring strength. But he's also desiring that we would desire him. He's desiring that he's looking for people whose hearts are turned towards him. And so now you have this relationship going on. That God is committed to kazaking us. But he's wanting us to turn to him. To be turned and tuned to him. In just the few moments we have left, I want to just highlight another story in the Old Testament. Some of you might be familiar with this guy, some of you might not, but in 2 Kings chapter 23, if you've got your Bibles there, you might want to turn to it on your gadgets or whatever, but in 2 Kings chapter 23 and verse 25, we read of a story of a guy called Josiah. Josiah was one of the most effective kings in the whole of Israel. And notice what it says about him. This is 2 Kings 23, 25. And neither before nor after Josiah was there a king like him who turned to the Lord as he did with all of his heart. Say heart. With all of his heart, with all his soul, and with all his strength in accordance with the law of Moses. So neither before nor after Josiah was there a king like him. So that's quite an accolade. That's quite a reference to have on your CV. There's never been a king before him. There's never been a king after him like him. Now, what's even more remarkable, some of you will know this, but Josiah, when he became king, he was only 8 years of age. I know we've just given some birthday presents for the young people, and I'm just looking around if there's anyone 8 here, or they're all in kids' church. I don't know about you, but when I was 8, I wasn't ready to be king. All I wanted to do was run away to sea. When I was 8, my dad said, let me pack your bags. Said, Dad, no, that's illegal. I'm only 8. But I did when he was 16, you know. But that's another story. So, but Josiah became unexpected king when he was 8 years of age. He became king in the context of the nation going through incredible upheaval. Sound familiar? It was a time where the nation was slip-sliding away from the standards and the favor that God had put upon them as a nation. Both his father and his grandfather before that were kings, but they were godless kings. And they were leading the nation away from the plans and purposes of God. Josiah became king when his father got assassinated by his own people. And Josiah became king unexpectedly at the age of 8. This little boy, he was looking around the nation thinking, this thing called the nation isn't working. This thing called life isn't working. And what he did is he made a decision. He made a decision to seek after something bigger than himself. He was king. He was the most important person in the nation, even though he was young. But he said, I'm not going to allow the past to dictate the future. What I'm going to do is I'm going to connect myself to something bigger than himself. 2 Kings 22:1-2. Josiah was 8 years of age when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 31 years. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and followed completely the ways of his father David, that's his spiritual father David, not turning aside to the right or towards the left. I just want to offer you three things as we begin to close in the next 10 minutes. I want to offer you three things that will allow us to see what Josiah did, that will allow us this week to get in a position and in a posture where we can be in the most effective place for God to strengthen our lives. Is that okay? Three things. Let me just give you three things. The first thing, he changed his posture. He changed his posture. 2 Chronicles 34:3 says, in the 8th year of his reign, whilst he was still young, he began to seek the God of his father. He began to seek. This week, seek the God of the father. The God of his of our ancestors, that the spiritual men and women who've invested in our lives, that they've carried something, and now we can look beyond them to God himself. Seek the God that is over your life. Be in a position where you see there's a difference between our position and our posture. Our position is where we stand. Our posture is what we do with where we stand. Now, Josiah was king. He had position. He was the most important person in the nation. He was king. He carried position, but he sought after God. And so he postured himself in leaning into God rather than leaning away from God. Now, you and I, we're positioned in Christ. The Bible says that actually Ephesians tells us that we are seated in the heavenly realms because of Jesus. That's a privileged position. But what are we going to do this week, friends, with our privileged position? Are we just going to kind of just take it for granted that we're seated in the heavenly realms and that just becomes some kind of theological doctrine that we hold to? Or are we going to actually use that position to alter our posture to lean into him? I gotta be careful because of time on here. But one of the privileges of my life is I serve the Assemblies of God by serving on the board of military chaplaincy. So all that, having been in the Navy in my younger days in the military, all those ministers in the nation who want to be chaplains within the military, they have to come up against this special selection board and an overseeing board. And I serve on that board. It's a great privilege. A few months ago, I was invited through that board. I was invited to go to a special centenary celebration of the Royal Seal of Approval on Army Chaplaincy. And I went down to the Royal Barracks in Westminster, just Buckingham Palace, just around the corner from Buckingham Palace there, at the Royal Chapel at Horse Guards Parade, there, or Horse Guards there, where the Horse Guards Parade happens from. And we were all there, the military top brass and all these military chaplains. And there were military personnel. There was polished shoes, and you could see your face in your shoes, and there was medals flying everybody, and everybody had rank and everyone had position, and we all stood in the guards chapel and we were all in position, but there was something about to happen that changed from position to posture. Because even though everyone was in position, and in the military everybody's got their place and everybody knows their place and there's rank and there's all this thing going on and there's medals and everything, everybody had position, everybody was in position, but all of a sudden there was a fanfare from the front. And as the fanfare started, Her Majesty, our beautiful Queen Elizabeth, began to walk down the middle of the Royal Chapel. You should have seen these military personnel change from position to posture. Their posture changed. Their posture. I watched them. I saw them. I was there. I was the same. But we're all in position. But as soon as the Her Majesty started to walk down, postures changed. Now, we respect our Queen Elizabeth. We love our Queen. We pray for our Queen. But can you imagine if that's for Her Majesty? What about Our Majesty? What about Our Majesty? Yes. This week, we know that we're in Christ. We know that we are saved. We know that we're in this incredible position. But this week, what about your posture? Yeah. Are you leaning into him? Let me be quick. The third one will be a prayer. But the second one is this. Josiah, he celebrated and he encouraged the nation to celebrate God's provision. 2 Kings 23:21 says, the king gave this order to all the people, celebrate the Passover to the Lord your God, as it is written in the book of the covenant. So there's two things there, the Passover and the covenant. Both of those things talk about the provision of God. And I'll begin to close with this, and the third one we'll use as a prayer. So he chose to, what he began to do is he began to uncover the rubble in the temple, which speaks about the presence of God, which is about posturing into the presence of God. And then he began to, they discovered the book of the law, which was the Torah, the first five books of the Bible. And he began to read the word of God and understand the standard that they had moved from. And so as he read the book of the law, as he read the Bible, the word of God, he began to understand again the provision that God had set for the nation. And he said, we got to celebrate this. Let me just close with this. The covenant of God. A covenant is a pledge between two people. Many of you who are married will understand that when you got married, you and your spouse, you entered into a covenant relationship with each other. So on the 14th of September, 1991, just after 2:30 in the afternoon, Michelle was 2 minutes late, but that's grace. In a big old Anglican church in Kirkby and Ashfield, not far from here, we stood, young 24-year-olds, just left Bible college. And we stood face to each other. And the minister led us into covenant. And so we stood face to face. And Michelle's saying, you know, whatever I have, whatever I am, I give to you. And I'm standing there, Michelle, whatever I have, I give to you. All I had is a Ford Cortina. It's the most expensive thing I owned. But it's yours. I now drive a Mondeo. Life's been good to me, you know. But I'm saying to Michelle, look, everything from this moment on, everything I have belongs to you. 28 years later, that's still the same. That's not going to change. But can you imagine, we were just Bible students. We haven't really got anything, you know, and just each other and God. But can you imagine if God was standing there? Just think for a moment, if God was standing there. So I'm saying to God, you know, in this covenant relationship, I'm just a mixed up kid, you know, I've got nothing really, I'm just a little bit of a issues going on, and I'm just a mixed up kid, but here's my life, I'll give you everything. It's yours, God. It's a bit of a mess, but I give it to you. but then God says, it's okay, my son. Because everything I have, I give to you. And by the way, I'm the King of Heaven. And so everything I have, every ounce of grace and mercy and resource and power and connection and all that stuff, Kevin, I give to you. That's covenant. And that's worth celebrating. And so Josiah made a pledge to say, hey, we're never going to forget that. We're going to live our lives with an attitude of gratitude. And this week, if you want to get yourself into a position where you can be strengthened by God, first of all, seek out his presence with your posture. And then live with an attitude of gratitude. Live with that sense of awe of who you are in him. Live to understand that actually this is all about him. Why don't you stand to your feet? The third one is this. And you make your own response to this. Because the third one is this. The third one is he sought out the presence of God with his posture. Secondly, he began to celebrate the provision of God. The third one is he made a decision to cut out the pollution. He cut out the stuff that he no longer wanted. and needed in his life. You see, the thing is, once you get into this, this becomes a mirror.
Yes.
I say to our folks in Cyprus all the time, listen, I've got nothing wrong with Facebook. I think I might have said this before here. There's nothing wrong with Facebook. I dabble in it myself a few times. You know, there's nothing wrong with Facebook. But if you really want to know who you are in life, I'd spend less time on Facebook and more time with your face in the book. Because Facebook is fun, but it won't tell you how to live. It will tell you what other people are doing on their holiday, but it won't tell you who you are. And if you want to be in that place where you can be kazakhed in God and strengthened by God, this week, use this as a mirror. Every day when you wake up this week, every day when you wake up the rest of your life, the first mirror you look into be this. Some of you like looking in the mirror. Some of you need to. Only joking. I lead a ministry called Encourage International. Sorry. All of us need this mirror. And when we come up against this mirror, he begins to highlight stuff in our lives that we don't need. Stuff that needs to be gone. Stuff that needs to be cut out. Stuff that is holding you back. Stuff that actually you're holding on to that you ought not to be holding on to. And Josiah, what he did is he began to have a clean sweep of all the falsehood of the nation, because he didn't want anything to get in the way of the Kazakh. Just in a moment, as I hand back to Pastor Andy, I'm going to ask you this simple question. If you want to be Kazakhed this week by God, and he wants to Kazakh you, is there anything in your life that you know in your heart of hearts, when you spend time in the mirror, you know in your heart of hearts you don't need anymore? It's just getting in the way. Let God take it. Leave it at the foot of the cross this morning. I'm going to hand over to Pastor Andy, who'll lead us in prayer. Bless you, mate.
Amen. Let's give Kevin a big hand for bringing the word. Okay, we're going to pray. And as we do, I'm just going to count to three. And I believe that God is going to speak to some people where God's going to say, you don't need that in your life. You really don't. Sometimes some things are not necessarily bad or wrong, but we don't need it. The curse of our age is busyness. The purposes of the Lord are not flourishing because I personally fear we're busy with the wrong things. One chapter of the Bible a day will change your life. I know it's not a magic wand and bang, you're changed. That's not the message. Just one chapter a day. What's that? 10 minutes? Count to three, and I just feel God's going to speak to people. One, two, three. And as we finish, I've been in church 40 years in September. God speaks to us, we walk out the door and we forget and we just get on with our lives. If you really mean it, I just encourage you to talk to someone, your friend or one of the team or one of the pastors. Even if it's a small thing, there's power. You don't have to. Talk to your husband or your wife or whoever you want to talk to. There's a power in confession. I look at my phone too much. Maybe that's your confession with someone. I want my screen time to go down by half an hour a day. I don't know how you work that out. But come on, God's got so more for our lives. So much more. But he can't do more because you've got too much. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you that we've heard your word. We want to be strengthened by you. Lord, I just pray that New Horizon will always be full of people. That when you look in the East Midlands, that you can strengthen hearts and lives. We want to be a people. I want to be a person that's fully committed to you in every aspect of our lives and live well. Lord, I just pray that your voice will be the loudest voice in our lives. I just pray for a release and a breaking of any chains, things that have got hold of us, the sin that so can easily entangle us that we don't need. Lord, we pray that people will be released in purity and released in joy. Lord, I just pray this week that as we are strengthened, we'll be able to do more for your kingdom and see your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, I just pray for this congregation, whether people are doing the school run, working in Tesco, on the factory floor, in the sales office, whatever they are doing, Lord, I pray, on Monday morning, that they'd represent you well, that they'd served you well, that people in the workplace will know there's something different about that person. Lord, I pray that you would bless each person, protect and keep their lives, that no harm will come to them. No disaster will come near their tent, and the angels of the Lord will encamp around them, and that you would bless them. We ask this in your name. Amen.
We hope that you've enjoyed this message. For any more information or to download our weekly podcast, please go to www.newhorizonchurch.org.uk.